said before. So.
Okay.
If you want to do policy.
At 1 p.m. to base.
Sales tax in terms of second and 20.
In and around some folks eating lunch and so on. It's kind of an empty table, though. Senator Dibble arranged for... who had the questions on sample? Senator Peterson, you had some, and Senator Nino had some, and was it Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Yeah, oh, Mr. Chair, I don't have any more amendments. In fact, or any more questions. Thank you. The one of my main concerns was the residential, which, as Senator Dibble mentioned, did go on trying to make clear that should not be charged. That did go on in our previous transportation committee. So,
well, let's continue then. And if people want to get back to that issue, we do have some people here from the cities, but Senator Dibble, you've completed the walkthrough of the bill with questions. Members, discussion and amendments. Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A27 amendment. I think that's the right
okay,
one.
Okay, if we could have that distributed to the four people who are here.
A27.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, there must be some mix-up there because I have an A27 as well.
I don't think that's the right number either.
Okay.
But where did I put it?
Okay.
Here it is. A24. Sorry.
A24.
Thanks, Senator Peterson. I wouldn't want to offer your amendment. Okay.
I didn't realize I had your support.
There's three people. Okay. All right. Do you want me to begin explaining it, Mr.
Well,
Chair?
Let's wait till it's been distributed.
Hastings in the TTD.
Delete it.
It's easy enough. Just delete the section.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The city of Hastings is outside of the Metropolitan Transit Taxing District right now, and Hastings has expressed interest over the years in joining the Transit Taxing District if it meant that it could receive regular route transit service between Hastings and the Twin Cities. So this amendment simply says that if the governing body or the City Council of Hastings enters into an agreement with the Metropolitan Council, they will become part of the Transit Taxing District. And I have spoken with the Metropolitan Council Chair, and everybody is agreeing that this is, or I should more accurately say, the Metropolitan Council is neutral on this amendment. But the city of Hastings is certainly supportive.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Sieben discussed this with me, and I also discussed it with Mr. Shetnin from the Metropolitan Council, and everyone seems to be in agreement. This is how we've handled bringing other municipalities in the metropolitan area in the recent past into the Transit Taxing District through agreement and an understanding that they would, in fact, receive transit service. So I support this amendment, Mr. Chair.
Is there further discussion on the amendment then? If not, all those on Senator Sieben's motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Further amendments? Any other amendments to the bill? Senator Peterson, did you say you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have a couple different options here for amendments that I will could offer relating to our discussion that we had last evening. It seemed like there was plenty of needs for additional dollars here in the Finance Committee, and so I was mistaken when I said I had an idea that could raise a couple hundred additional $100,000 for you for the Finance Committee to utilize. It's actually $1.540,000 to be exact over the next biennium, and that would be the implementation of the truck weights bill that some are familiar with, others may not be. But members, this is a well. Actually, I'd offer that I'll start with the A27 amendment.
If we could have that amendment distributed, I'm going to ask the pages as you distribute the amendments.
Okay.
I'm going to ask the pages if you can get it to the members first into the empty spots.
I got one, thanks.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Peterson, let's hang on 1 second. Okay, Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair and members, what this bill would do, if you're not familiar with it, currently right now under Minnesota law, there's some exceptions to our current truck weights. The amount of weight that a vehicle is allowed to carry on Minnesota state highways. And there's a couple exemptions. One of them exempts agricultural products, or in law it references special farm products. And this bill simply is an expansion of those exemptions, allowing all freight to purchase an overweight truck permit. And so historically, so this is in place right now for agricultural products. It's also in place in the Minnesota Department of Transportation district up surrounding Senator Skoy's Senate district, primarily around the city of Frazee. You may recall right at the end of session last year, Senator Skoy was successful in putting on an amendment to expand truck weights in his own DOT district in an effort to motivate Menards to build a distribution center up in that area. And so right now, members, this is happening for agricultural products, for the timber industry. There's some differences between ag products and timber, but then it's also happening in a full DOT district, kind of in northwestern or north-central, northwestern Minnesota, kind of surrounding Frazee. So this is happening around the state in a number of areas right now, in an area right now. And what this bill simply does, expand it. And why this bill raises so much money, Mr. Chair, as I said, it raises over $1.5 million over the biennium, because these overweight permits have a cost to them. They either cost $300 or $500. And the fiscal note does a great job of kind of laying that out. The other provision of the agricultural portion of this that I should make clear, oftentimes we hear an objection from local governments. This bill allows a local government, a county or township, to still opt out. So if this bill were to pass or go on Senator's bill, there still is local control. A county board could vote not to allow these heavier trucks to operate on a particular roadway. So there is local control. It's just giving them the responsibility to kind of say yes or no. So to the amendment that's before you right now, it takes, if you'll draw your attention to line 2.15, it takes 50% of the revenues generated from these permits by the commissioner and deposits them in the local bridge fund. And the reason why I'm doing this, the counties, seem to have expressed not a desire to have this money. And so that's why I thought maybe this committee might be motivated to let it go on into the general fund. So you can see on line 2.17, the remaining revenue must be deposited in the general fund, which, Mr. Chair, would allow you to use those dollars, as we discussed last night, for other needs that might come up here in the final weeks of the session.
Well, Senator Peterson, whatever happens with the amendment, I want to thank you. It's the thought that counts, no matter what happens with the amendment. So, Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair and members, heavyweight trucks has been the source of a lot of hearing and discussion and amendments offered a couple of different times, initially offered by Senator Jensen to the policy bill. Then, of course, there was a determination that it had finance nexus, so subsequently offered by Senator Peterson to this bill at his previous stop unsuccessfully. I'll just say this. I respect everyone's perspective on this subject. This is a very difficult policy discussion with many different perspectives, all of which I respect, and every point of view is valid. So it's one of those classic policy debates. I've myself been generally in favor of these kinds of initiatives. I've been persuaded that we might still yet pause just a little bit longer to settle some. This is also very, of course, very political, and there's a lot of stakeholders and there's a lot at stake. In terms of policy, though, there's enough division among the engineering profession that it gives me some hesitation. Almost unanimously, county engineers have come out against this in Minnesota, as well as their commissioners from across the state. We know that at the federal level, as a function of the last surface transportation reauthorization bill, a federal pretty intensive analysis study is being undertaken, and the results of that are due any time now, and I think that'll inform the debate and the discussion. Questions. There are some questions still out there. MnDOT turned in a report a few years ago that came out generally in favor, but since that time has hedged a little bit around some other questions around safety and wear and tear on the roadways, and acknowledgement that bridges have a consequence. So I do appreciate that Senator Peterson put some money into the bridge account. That's great. We also know that the limitations on our interstate system are fairly stringent. I think 80,000 pounds. And so even if we were to increase the truck weights on our state highways, they wouldn't be able to intersect or interact with our interstates that go through the state. I've been persuaded to maybe hesitate bringing this forward at this point and allow for some of this more information, process, debate, maybe create a little bit more unanimity of perspective from the practitioners out in the field who are taking care of our roads.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Dibble and I have talked about this a number of times, and so I think I knew where his thoughts were. I guess the question I had was really for you, if you're interested, and some of your committee chairs have additional needs, if they're interested in trying to get at another $1.5 million in this biennium, this is the way to do it. If they're not, then... But I guess if there's some direction from you, if you think there's a need and you want these dollars, I guess I'm happy to move forward. If not, I won't.
Well, Senator Peterson, your offer of help is appreciated, deeply felt. I'm not on the transportation division, so I'm going to listen to the debate. And sure, I can always use dollars. That's what I'm here for. But I'm not going to get into the middle of the debate between you and Senator Dibble on the issue.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm not interested in opening up into a lot of testimony either. I understand your situation related to time today, but I should make clear that right in the fiscal notes, some of the notes that are available there, demonstrate right now in Minnesota we still have 20 bridges that. That have not been inspected. That's what these overweight permits, these fees are due. They fund the inspection of bridges. Every bridge, it appears in the notes, in the fiscal note, that every bridge in the state has been inspected with the exception of these 20 bridges, and it would allow those to get done and then, of course, continue to fund those inspections. And then this amendment would free up additional dollars. So I mean, from my perspective, Mr. Chair, I might ask, like, Senator Champion, is this something you feel like you can support to get the additional $400,000 for the health care grants? Or
Senator Peterson, we don't direct questions to members as to how they're going to vote or not vote. They can volunteer that in the course of committee debate.
Well, Mr. Chair, then I'll withdraw the amendment. It doesn't seem to be any interest for the additional dollars. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Other amendments on the part of the Senator Lori.
Mr. Chair, I think it's on page 53. I'd like to move to strike Article 6, Section 34, at beginning on line 53.10. This is a provision where the effective date is July 1st, 2019. That is in, that's 2020. That's the start of fiscal 2020, and this would be a program that starts off of our books. The view that we see is for the 16-17, 18-19 biennium, and I just have a very principled position against starting a program so far in the tails that we don't get to see the effects of it on the working documents that we're with. So I move to strike Article 6, Section 34.
Senator Lori, if I can address your amendment, because I agree with it, it's not a question of a principled stand, it's just fiscally bad practice. Now, my concern is, I think this was a provision of Senator Westrom. I don't know if he's showing up or not. But members, just in terms of a little bit of history, in the old days, like my first term in the House,
53.
We only budgeted for the current biennium. And Governor Carlson, I think his first budget, I'm not sure if it was first or second budget, in response to the legislature just budgeting into the future, said that we're going to have a budget that encompasses the current biennium and the next biennium, and that we would look at the effect of expenditures and appropriations on the next biennium. But we've never budgeted, in effect, into infinity. So if we start budgeting into 2020, let's budget into 2030 or 2040. And so this is something that fiscally we just have never done and shouldn't. And if we were to do it, then we should do it for the entirety of the budget, as we do with the tails budget for 18-19. Senator Dibble, I don't know if what your feeling is, but
One technical item first, Mr. Chair. Senator Lori probably need to add to his motion to delete.
Ms. Brzozowski, or
Section 6 on page 36. That's a part of the Westrom initiative as well. Mr. Chair. It puts me in this awkward position, of course, like Senator Tomassoni was in a couple of days ago with a package that was crafted by his committee. Probably felt some responsibility to defend his committee's work, even if a lot of it wasn't his own initiative. As the chairs were, I think then part of our duty is to defend at least the pieces we don't completely object to. I think we discussed the principle of the issues that Senator Westrom raised in presenting this amendment to the bill, and that is when MnDOT or contractors are paying sales tax, we're basically paying that sales tax out of the highway user tax distribution fund to the general fund, and it doesn't seem to make much sense. It's this whole subject of diverting resources out of the highway user fund to other purposes of state government. I agree with the matter in principle. I wish we could have done this in this biennium. It has a $23 million cost. Is that biennial or annual? So it would have been a $46 million cost. I had at one time tried to persuade you to increase my target and didn't even shoot that high. The principle has been made, and I understand why the objection is here, because of course we
solved that problem by putting it out into the distant future.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, this is a Senator Westrom proposal, or, you know, proposal. I think with we should respect Senator Westrom, and I don't know where he is. Otherwise, I would, you know, run and get him. But it seems a little wrong to do this while he's not in the room.
I indicated that, if you heard me, with my remarks, we need to get some work finished. I don't know.
Mr. Chair. I can withdraw my amendment for now, but if assuming there's another amendment or two, but before we're done, or not Senator Westrom is here, I plan to move to remove this section and the section 6 on page 36.
All right, so Senator Laurie right now withdraws his amendment. Senator Fischer,
Mr. Chair.
Can somebody find if Senator Westrom is available?
Well, and we will do that immediately.
Okay.
But, Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, it's my understanding this has no fiscal impact. Because it's so far out.
Right. Mr. Chair, Senator Fischbach, there is no fiscal implication for this biennium or the next biennium. Of course, it would then need to be accounted for in the biennium subsequent to that.
Then, Mr. Chair?
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I think that if we had to, we could probably wait to do it on the floor because it wouldn't affect, you know, the targets at all. And it's, I guess, I just think that given that we're kind of meeting on the fly, and I understand you announced it on the floor, but we were supposed to be going to caucus, so it's not exactly like we're in a, you know, in that we started at 9 and we're continuing that meeting. So I think we should all be – there's lots of folks who aren't here, too. And I think that – and I understand, Senator Laurie, that you can do what you want, but, you know, when you take somebody's – a portion of a bill out that somebody has authored, it seems at least he should be given the heads up.
Well, Senator Fischbach, first of all, Senator Laurie had withdrawn the amendment.
But he did indicate that he was going to do it, whether Westrom was here or not, I believe is what he said.
Mr. Chair.
Let's see if there are other amendments, and maybe, Senator Fischbach, if you could let me know if Senator Westrom is available. Are there other amendments? Okay. So that's a problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stump.
I don't have an amendment, but I would like just to take a minute or two and talk about the bonding part. In the, I think it's on page 19, the way you have this, it's a total of $800 million.
So, Mr. Chair?
Senator Dibble.
I'm not sure if Senator Stump asked the question. Those are trunk highway bonds.
Mr. Chairman, they do. And I told Senator Pappas, I gave her the wrong information. The trunk highway bonds do count against the capacity of the state. So I was wrong on that. But I was just wondering how, reading the language, I believe it. I think it somewhere. It talks about $200 million per year for between 16 and 19, 2006.
Mr. Chair?
Can't remember where I saw that.
Yeah, that's correct. And you can read that in the rider language or the author or whatever we call it, 19.29. So it's a $200 million per year authorized trunk highway bonds for the purposes of the corridors of commerce over a four-year period. And that would, of course, come to a total out of the trunk highway fund for that purpose over those 4 years of $800 million. And then also authorized would be $200 million total or $50 million per year over that same period of time for the Transportation Economic Development Program. So that would bring the total
authorized bonding for those two purposes to $1 billion over a four-year period, and then we make some appropriations to contend with the debt service, and that was reflected on the bond sale expenses. $1 million to cover the bond sale expenses, and then we account for the debt service, the repayment of the overall trunk highway program. I know it counts, Mr. Chair, towards our overall debt picture, even though those are special revenue funds, trunk highway bonds, but we, of course, are increasing the capacity by quite a bit through the increase in revenues, through the gas tax and the license tap fees. So I don't think we get ourselves in any bad position with respect to our credit rating.
Just to, Mr. Chairman, just to remind members that the Capital Investment Committee will hold a hearing on our capacity next Monday. Mm. So we'll get the latest information from MMB and see where we're at. I think the last report that I received was that we had about $699 million in capacity. So we may have to make some adjustments.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would ask Mr. Nauman if he has any insight. I mean, if we're increasing the revenues in the Trunk Highway Fund, does that $699 hold or not?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, I would think that with the increased revenue, it would factor into the considerations that Senator Stumpf was citing. But I think I'd want to have a conversation with MMB before I went too far with that.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's nothing further than that, does Senator Laurie?
Mr. Chair, if it's time, I'm going to renew my motion to, on page 36, strike Article 6, Section 7, and on page 53, strike Article 6, Section 34. Both of those have effective dates July 1, 2019, which is in the start of fiscal 2020, and it is beyond our budgetary view. And as Chair of Health and Human Services, I have had proposals of this nature many, many, many times for things that people feel incredibly passionate about. We just have to really, for fiscal soundness, protect against starting programs that have costs in a time period beyond the view that we're able to see and evaluate the costs and benefits and pros and the cons of. So I renew my motion.
Okay. We have Senator Laurie's motion. Senator Westrom, we had some discussion for a few minutes before you got here. So let me just indicate what I told members who were here previously. The history of this place is that going back years ago, the budgets were only for the current biennium. And Governor Carlson, in response to legislators budgeting into the future, said, we're going to have a tails budget for the subsequent biennium. And so we have those budgets that we've worked from. And again, that was that was Governor Carlson who initiated that, to, in all honesty, to kind of rein us in the legislature. And but we don't budget for years afterwards, and unless we're going to have – so we have a tails budget. So when we go through the budget books, all of us know on this committee certainly that we budget into the next biennium. So we have an 18-19 budget in front of us. We end up being a little bit looser with that budget potentially, possibly, than we might be with the current biennium. But we still have a budget, and we end up with a budget at the end of the day that not only reflects a balance for the current biennium, but also for that next biennium. Mm-hmm. To budget beyond that, however, the rhetorical question is, where do we stop? You know, how about a budget number for 2025 or 2026? So, Senator Westrom, I know this is your provision. I don't serve on the division. Senator Anderson had some, but I'd like to give Senator Westrom a chance to respond, because obviously this is your section of the bill.
Sure. Well, and Mr. Chair, I appreciate that. Members, I would urge us to not support Senator Lurie's amendment, and here's why. And here's why I think this is a good provision for us to adopt, but a good policy and a good topic for us to have a discussion on as well, Senator, Mr. Chair. As I talked in Transportation Finance Division, and I've heard this this issue from road contractors and different folks in the industry, talked to different legislators off and more this discussion became ripe this year, and I hadn't looked at it that close previous years. But this provision would exempt sales tax from road construction materials. And follow me here. The reason I think it is good and the reason we put it out 4 years would be for planning and to clean up this account, but it wouldn't have the immediate impact of starting this next fiscal year. Obviously, this is a gas tax increase bill that is going to add more dollars, but to get to conference committee, I think this would be a very good provision for us to keep in the Senate, and a provision maybe we could work on moving this direction. If this is too dramatic, I would ask members to give me your suggestions, and the chairman, maybe there's other things we could do, but this would get us moving in that direction. And, Mr. Chair, if it's too big of a tail, it can be done what the legislature has done numerous times, which is change the statute, and it wouldn't happen. But, Mr. Chair, the reason it is such an important issue to follow on is the gas tax was constitutionally dedicated, what you pay at the pump, to road construction and maintenance. The state then comes along and charges a sales tax on road construction materials to the tune of about $23 million a year to our road contractors who have to include that in their bids to the state. That money is directly siphoned off and shifted to the general fund. I dare say you could even make an argument it violates the constitutional dedication. But think about this. The legislature, if we get in short times, to pick up more money, we could raise the tax for this illustration purposes. We could raise the sales tax to 100% of construction materials and shift all of that dedicated gas tax money from the highway trunk account into the general fund. And I say that to prove and present my point. I think you get the illustration. 100% would be pretty extreme, and most of us would say that would pervert the intent of a dedicated account that's supposed to be constitutionally dedicated for highway road construction and maintenance. And what we are doing with this sales tax now is siphoning off this dedicated account right off the top, and it's $23 million of roads that aren't being built throughout our state or aren't being fixed. MnDOT's estimated cost per mile is $1 million. My county engineers recently have told me they're building them for $750,000. Somewhere in between 23 and 30 miles could be built by just making this shift and bringing it back into the general constitutionally dedicated account and putting those dollars where they originally were intended to be. And so, Mr. Chair, that's why I would plead with members to leave this in. Let's continue the discussion. If there's a different way to get to this point, but that's the reason 4 years is a long time for us to work this out. This is a significant gas tax increase already in this bill, and Mr. Chair, that's the reason that I think it's a very proper, it's a very good policy for us to be adopting, and I would urge members to keep it in.
And Senator Westrum, Senator Anderson wanted to comment, but let me make it clear. My comments are not directed to the substance of what you're attempting to do. At this juncture, I'd be a little bit agnostic on that. My concern is just that the fiscal management of the state budget and the fact that we don't budget into the future, into infinity, we have a definitive budget that we deal with. So my comment is not related to the importance of the issue that you're discussing, but more to how we handle the fiscal structure of our state budget. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to comment on the fact that in previous omnibus bills that we've had here in the committee, there has been the 2019 date in some of the language that we've dealt with. So it's not unusual to see that here in that that context either. So just for.
Yep, Senator Anderson, and obviously we did that. Well, it was my amendment to Senator Tomasoni's bill, but keep in mind, it's a little bit different. It always gets a little bit confusing. I think all of us get confused in terms of the bienniums and, you know, the calendars and so on. That language was until expended, and it was the end of the next biennium. So it didn't go into a subsequent biennium. It went into only this next biennium, and that was the end date. Now, you would be exactly correct if it had been one day later, but it was the end of that two-year period. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, when this provision was first introduced, I, too, spoke out against it. I know that there were some things that we wanted to fund in the higher ed budget, and when trying to look creative, I was joking with fiscal staff and saying, well, couldn't I just start it in the next biennium? And you know, he didn't think that was very funny. So I think it really is a slippery slope. I think that there would be, I mean, I could see people saying, oh, we should start this universal preschool thing in 2020. It's a great thing. You know, we don't have the money now, but let's be aspirational. And I think once you start doing that, there is no place to stop. And so my advice to you, Senator Westrum, and I don't know if the chair would even have any resources to work with you on this. It sounds like he's got a pretty tight target. But if you phased this in and began the program now over a period of time, if you phased out, you know, so that you would ultimately get there, and there would have to be some money tracked as it went. But, again, it sounds like Senator Dibble doesn't have those resources right now, but that would be a different approach. You asked for suggestions. I think the point is you can't put something in law that isn't reflected within the construct of the time we're budgeting for.
Yeah. I mean, I just an aside, I have a sense when I was a 25-year-old kid freshman in the House that it was just a total free-for-all and that there was real no fiscal discipline. And like I said, Governor Carlson is the one who really imposed this, and correctly so. Other comments on Senator Lurie's amendment?
Yeah.
Senator Peterson?
Yeah, I think you're beginning to kind of get a sense of what the Transportation Committee went through, and if you were able to listen to Senator Westrum's argument in relation to the gas tax and how that is kind of being utilized for other things, it makes perfect sense, and I think that's what the committee recognized, Mr. Chair. And if you don't want to look at it from that aspect, which is certainly a little more complicated, again, Senator Westrum pointed out, I think each of us has 22 or 23 more miles in our districts that we would have real good ideas on where those road dollars should go. And it's very simple. It's very simple to recognize that, even though it's statewide, certainly, but each of us would have an idea where that additional roadway could go or should go. And so I would urge members to support the Transportation Committee and vote against Senator Lurie's amendment, Mr. Chair, and I'd ask for a roll call as well. Thanks.
Okay. Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, I kind of can see where this might be going, but Senator Bonoff, thank you for your suggestions. If the chair has any idea or willingness to maybe reconstruct this, would there be a way, Senator Dibble, to reform this? Or is there anything you're interested in doing that between now and the floor? If we were to revise it between now and then, we can leave it in till then or take it out and put an amendment on the floor. I think she raises a good point, and I would like to see us continue this discussion, and that's why I would like not to have this language out, but I would certainly be committed to working with the chair and other members of the committee or the Senate to maybe structure something. But Senator Dibble?
Well, and just quick response, Senator Westrom. This bill still is, I won't, I'll let Senator Dibble respond. This bill is not going from here to the floor. It's got to go to the Tax Committee first, Senator Dibble.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was going to make that point. So we'll be in the Tax Committee tomorrow, Mr. Chair and Senator Westrom, so there might be some opportunity there. I support and regard everyone on the Transportation Division, my friends, and I support my friend, the Chair of the Finance Committee, my friend, and I stand squarely with my friends here. So I'm at the horns of a dilemma trying to defend the bill, but at the same time, I'm sensitive to the direction of my finance chair and my members. So, Senator Westrom, I will make this commitment to you. You know I support the idea, and I strongly support the principles that you articulate in trying to get this policy in place. It is indisputable that we subsidize the general fund with highway user tax distribution fund proceeds by causing sales tax to be paid for state highway construction purposes. So I would like to continue to work on this. I think I'll support taking it out for the time being, but maybe we can figure out a way to have MnDOT examine the question, and we can get to this work
sometime
point in the future.
Senator Westrom.
Just parting, final comments, just to ease people's minds. And Mr. Chair, you know, where I learned to go out 4 years was when the Republicans were in control in the House and the DFL didn't like having balanced amendments. And so if I'm not House trained yet on this, that's where it came from. So, Mr. Chair, and I say that in a little humor because I think we all can selectively decide or kind of point to policies that we want to stand on when it's processed that we want to use to stop something or not. There's two things I can come to mind, and I'm sure staff could think of many more. When we repealed the Minnesota care tax 3-4 years ago, Governor Dayton signed it, I believe. That was out 10 years. Not really paid for. It was just out 10 years. The future legislatures can figure out by then what they're going to do to accommodate that. Back in 2009, we passed some accessibility technology legislation that was put out, as I recall, about 4 years for that simple effect of not having to pay for it in the next biennium because there were some costs to the agencies. And that 4 years has come and gone now, and it's accessible technology that Representative Hilty in the House had carried. I helped him with it. Representative Rukavina supported. And so I give members this illustration that this is not the first time something would be out 4 years on a small or a major policy change or taxing policy change. And so the legislature ebbs and flows and sometimes the policies and process is a good argument, and other times it's not. So I would ask members to try to keep it in, and let's keep working on it.
And Senator Westrom, let me make kind of my quick closing comments. One, I'm not suggesting that the blame is to be placed on one party or another. As I said at the outset of the discussion, it was Governor Carlson who went to a DFL House and a DFL Senate and said, we're not going to budget this way. And second, if there have been exceptions to this, please call me on account in this committee, because if I've made that mistake, I don't think I have, but if I have in allowing something to escape, then I should be held to account on that as well. If there have been exceptions that have gotten by, I hope that's by omission and not commission. Senator Laurie, staff would like to ask you just to restate your amendment so we have the sections. And then Senator Peterson asked for a roll call.
Article 6, Section 34 on page 53, and Article 6, Section 6 on page 36.
Okay.
I move to strike those two sections.
All right. We have Senator Laurie's motion. Clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I guess he added a section. I guess I was under the impression it was just the section 34.
Mr.
But
Chair?
But they go together? Is that?
Mr. Chair, no. The council pointed out that there was another section that similarly started in July 1st of 2019 and suggested that I also strike that section. And so that is
right,
Article 6, Section 6. I incorporated that into my amendment.
I'm sorry. I must have missed that.
Okay. Clerk will take the roll.
Cohen.
Yes.
Anderson.
No.
Bonoff.
Yes.
Champion.
Yes.
Dibble.
Yes.
Bischbach.
No.
Goodwin. Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Latz.
Yes.
Limmer.
Nope.
Lori.
Yes.
Miller. Newman.
No.
Nino. Pappas.
Yes.
Peterson.
No.
Saxog.
Yes.
Sieben.
Yes.
Stumpf.
Yes.
Tomasoni.
Yes.
Westrom.
No.
Uyghur.
Yes.
Goodwin. Miller. Nino.
On a vote of 12-7, the motion passes. I had asked a few minutes ago before we got back to that if there were other amendments. I didn't see anybody else. Senator Dibble.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll look to Mr. Bodern because I know the House file is in committee. Do we need to do this fancy motion?
Mr. Senator Dibble, the chair very carefully asked me for the proper form of motion here, so I think he's prepared.
All right.
Mr. Chair,
so I'll make the fancy modern motion, whatever that
Mr.
is.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Peterson.
I just had one more quick question before the final vote on the bill. I just want to draw members' attention to the last page of this, the second to the last page, I guess, page 11 of 12 of the spreadsheet. And the question I had really for fiscal staff relates to the first yellow column relating to the previous biennium of 14 and 15.
It's funny how it keeps
where there's no balance, and then if we move to the current column under the Senate, which would be the fourth yellow column over, there's basically $1.849 billion in revenue. And the question for fiscal staff, does that represent a true increase in spending of $1.849 billion from the previous biennium?
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, that's correct. Relative to the new revenues created and revenue impacts in the bill, most of them are new amounts and not increases of previous revenue generators. There's only one change in 14-15, and that is the motor vehicle lease sales tax allocation correction, and that goes back to fiscal year 15.
Okay. Mr. Chair, then Senator Dibble, yesterday I was just looking for the article, but I didn't quite get to it here, or I did find it here. In the St. Paul Pioneer Press yesterday, Senator Bach was very clear that he saw no need for a transportation bill, and then actually referenced a tax bill as well. Senator Dibble, is that anything that the majority leader discussed with you at all?
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, Senator Bach, did articulate articulated this in the past that he I think in that same article I read it too said it is pretty important to do a transportation bill, but that the world wouldn't come to an end if we didn't do a transportation bill. I think what he was pointing out was that the same is true of a tax bill that the other body seems to want a lot as well. Likewise, so if we were just to do a lights-on bill, we would suffer pretty serious consequences in terms of falling behind in our transportation needs. Transportation is one of those things that we do in terms of planning for the long term. It's not like not appropriating dollars for education. If we don't appropriate dollars for education, then no kids can go to school next year. If we don't take care of our transportation needs, the consequences will be felt
but felt over a long-term horizon. That's why we're trying to do a long-term sustainable transportation bill. That's the whole point. Likewise, on the tax bill that the House seems to want a lot, you know, we can just do our current taxes and no big changes. Current law holds, and we just kind of hold with current law, and the world won't come to an end, but a lot of important things won't happen that people want to have happen. So I think that's the point he's trying to make. I think if you read the whole article, transportation is a high priority. He really wants to get it done. These are important investments that we make, but you know, balanced against things that other people want, you know, we gotta see what we can get done with some collaboration and some negotiation and some discussion.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, and Senator Dibble, I mean, I don't need to tell you that I think there's many members in the other body that would view that as a victory, having no transportation bill and no tax bill. And so the question I have for you, are you have plans to work on kind of an emergency transportation finance bill if that were to happen?
Senator Dibble.
Senator, Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I wake up every day, sun is shining, the birds are chirping, I'm optimistic, I jump out of bed and I'm optimistic that we're going to get this transportation bill that this body has already voted on, a significant package. So I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm optimistic we're going to get this done.
Thank you for sharing your life philosophy with us, Senator Dibble. Senator Westrum.
Well, Mr. Chair, to the part we just took out, I guess I would like to ask Senator Bonhoff if she would have some ideas that she could quick share with us, and I'd be happy to talk offline. And you, Mr. Chairman, if there's some feathered tails that would be workable to you, or Senator Bonhoff, if you'd have some comments,
Senator Westrum, if you'll allow me, you know, we've moved past that amendment. If Senator Bonhoff would like to work with you on some language for presentation either to the tax committee tomorrow or to the floor, fine. But I think I don't know that it would be quite in order to get into that debate right now.
And Mr. Chair, I guess in my closing comments, the reason I ask is, in order to get anything through, you're going to need Republican support and Democrat support. This was a good improvement to our transportation funding, and now it's coming out. Republicans supported it. Several Democrats said, well, I'm not objecting to the policy, but I'm not going to support keeping it in. I just don't see where we're on a road of two different directions rather than a road that merges ahead to pass something. And so I leave the committee with that thought. By taking that language out doesn't improve the chances of this bill passing and getting through conference and getting to the governor's desk. And so with that,
Mr. Chair,
I'm going to be voting no.
So quickly, Senator.
Yep. Mr. Chair, Senator Westrum, I will offline work with you and Senator Dibble to look through his numbers to see if there's any room in his budget. I have no idea because I'm not familiar with this target, but I'm happy to work with you.
Senator Dibble?
Well, Mr. Chair, I am glad to hear that my friends from the other side of the aisle are looking for a path to vote for this bill. I take that as welcome news. I'll note for the record that no members of the other party voted for the bill coming out of division, despite getting a number of provisions in.
Okay, so Senator Dibble moves that House File 5.
I still had a question.
I'm sorry, House File 4. I'm sorry, House File 4 be recommended to pass with the deletion of the language of House File 4 and the substitution and amendment of the language in Senate File 1904 as amended be recommended to pass. And we refer to the Committee on Taxes.
Mr. Chairman.
Staff allowed to make the technical changes. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, just before you take a vote on that motion, I didn't get a chance to make a comment earlier when we were talking about the trunk highway bonding. And I'm concerned about its impact on a a regular bonding bill if it takes away some capacity, because we usually seem to have this rather often artificial cap on how much we'll spend on a bonding bill of about $1 billion. And if this is going to take a quarter of the bonding bill over the next 4 years, then I have some concerns about the competition with higher ed and all the other good things that we do in bonding. I had, you know, when I heard that this bill had bonding in it, I had concerns from the get-go on that. So I think we need to, Senator Stump has talked about having a meeting on Monday. There usually is trunk highway bonding for usually like bridges in the bonding bill, but I think we need to, you know, have a careful balance there. You know, just like I would be concerned if you were spending cash on transportation, what kind of impact that was going to have on education funding.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Senator Pappas, these are trunk highway bonds. They're not general obligation bonds. Mm-hmm. The general obligation bonds that were in the original bill as introduced, Senate File 87, yeah, have been taken out. The trunk highway bonds have been carried in the transportation bill for quite some time now, not in the bonding bill. The bonding proceeds that go for transportation purposes are GO bonds that have been used for transitways and for local roads, not state highway, because they can't be. And this bill raises significant resources for the purpose of supporting this bonding program, among other purposes. So I don't think it's going to, certainly not on a dollar-for-dollar basis, affect the capacity of the GO bonding program, and unlikely to affect it at all.
On Senator Dibble's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Roll. No.
Motion carries. Then we have one other bill on the agenda, and this is a policy bill without fiscal impact. So we're passing this bill out as a matter of courtesy to the policy part of transportation. That would be Senate File 1647. Senator Dibble moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Dibble moves that Senate File 1647 as amended be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Okay, then members, stay tuned. Senator Fischbach, you indicated some concern about kind of the back and forth. There'll be some back and forth, so please stay tuned as to when we reconvene. But
Mr. Chair,
I'm sorry, Senator Ingridson.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't want to make any comments before the bill, but I'm trying to keep up with all this here, and I, you know, the technology and all this, these articles that are coming out that were referred to in this bill. But being the finance chair, I know you'd have a pretty good grasp on what's going on when it comes to dollars and cents moving forward. But should we not pass a tax bill? Should we not pass a transportation bill? As the majority leader has said publicly, what would that leave us coming in next March? How much money would we have for bonding proposal year? And now I'm a little more confused because Senator Pappas just said we were looking at a $1 billion bonding bill. I thought it was less than that. So I'm confused on the numbers.
Senator Ingridson, that would be an impossible question to answer at this point.
Okay.
We need staff to spend some time putting that together.
I don't need that, Mr. Chair, but I just thought maybe you'd have an idea, and I'd be certainly more than happy to talk to you offline.
If we didn't pass those bills, we'd have lots of money. So
we'd have lots of money.
Is that sufficient? So we'll reconvene. Please stay tuned and watch what we're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Sandy?
Yeah.
There's lots of minnows for that.